Our guests this morning, all of our guests, let's welcome them. We're glad to have you in service with us this morning. I started off when we greeted you today and we talked about how great God is. How many really believe that He's great? Do you really believe that He's great? How many believe, you really believe that He is more than enough? That we serve a God that is more than. Anybody get that? He is more than. The Bible says, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think. We don't serve a God that just gets by in our lives. He more than. Amen. He is more than sufficient. How many recognize the sufficiency of God's grace? Amen. Sin may be abounding, but grace superabounds. Amen, church. Amen. God is more than. You cannot in any way begin to understand this God is so great. He's so above everything. Amen. How many know it takes your faith to release that? Yes. Amen. Your faith has to connect with who He is. Amen. God's not motivated by your doing. God's motivated on what you believe. Right. It is your faith that connects you to God's resource. Amen. Amen. It's your faith. Let's get into the Word this morning. I'm going to start in the Old Testament. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 4. And I've told you guys for weeks, I've been eating the Amplified. In fact, someone this morning showed me they got a brand new Bible. And in there it has a parallel. It has a separate writing, Amplified, sitting right next to the original Scripture. And I love the Amplified Bible. And all the Amplified does, it's the word that it says Amplified. Just amplifies what's already there. It doesn't add to the word. It simply explains what is already present in the word. Here's what it says. 2 Kings chapter 4. At another time, a man from Baal Shalisha came and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. 20 loaves of barley, fresh ears of grain in the husk, in his sack. And Elisha said, give to the men that they may eat. His servant said, how am I to set only this before a hungry man? How many have ever felt like what you have to offer is just very little? I mean, in the scheme it's like putting a thimble of water on a burning fire. You sometimes might think in the scheme of everything that God is doing and everything that God has, you feel like a very small fish in a very big pond. Does anybody understand that? In the scheme of things, I mean, you look at it, you might even look sometimes at gifts that other people have, and you think, man, you know, I wish I could sing like that one. I wish I could write like this one. I wish I could do like this one. They all have all these giftings, and here I am, you know, and some have height. I don't. But we get an idea, and that's really what this guy is saying. He says, you know, listen, how is what I have brought sufficient? How is it what I'm doing? I might as well not even give, because what I have just doesn't even amount to much. Look what he says. He said, give it to the men that they may eat, for this is what the Lord says. How many are interested with what God says? Yes. Isaiah says, whose report are you going to believe? How many realize the final word on anything and everything is God? It doesn't matter, you can get an opinion from this and that, and listen, opinions are like noses, they all smell. Come on, everybody has one too, that's true. Everybody has got an opinion, but really the opinion that matters is, what does God say? Come on, can I hear an amen? That means you're in agreement. You agree with this. So that's what he's saying. Let's look and say what the Lord says. He says, they shall be fed and they shall have some left. So he set it before them, and they ate, and they left some, just exactly as the Lord had said. Now let's look really quick. Now you guys remember that Elisha followed Elijah. If you remember the story, Elijah had done wonderful miracles and had done all these great things before the Lord as an instrument of God. And Elisha says to him, he says, listen, when you go, I want double what you've got. I want double portion. I don't just want what you have. I want double what you have. And Elijah looked at him and said, man, you've asked one difficult thing. He said, however, if you will be there when I go, if you will be there when I leave and you see me when I go, then exactly what you've requested will be done. Elisha picks up where Elijah left off, and he is accepting his prophetic calling during a season of very difficult times. Amen. How many realize that even today we live in difficult times? How many realize we live in very challenging times? There's a lot of things going on in the world. There is wars and turmoil and strife and evil and difficulties and challenges everywhere. And this is what was going on. Israel was at this time at war with Syria. And on a daily basis, Israel faced hunger and scarcity and fears. So it became his objective. It became Elisha's purpose. It was his calling. It was his ministry that he would admonish Israel to trust God. He would do everything he could to encourage the men and women of Israel to put their faith not in themselves, but put their faith in the all-sufficiency of God. Can I tell you, I've accepted that mandate from the Lord myself. I've accepted that mandate as one of his speakers for this day, as one of the leaders for this day. I've accepted God's mandate. It is my heart's desire that you will trust God and none other. That you will not put your confidence in the arm of flesh. That you will not put your confidence in how you think things ought to work out. But you will fully engage yourself in trust in who he is and what he does. That is my, I believe that just as Elisha felt that passion, church, I want you to know it is my passion that you will trust God. What you believe will absolutely have an effect on how you live your life and what you do. Amen. I've been saying over and over again, God's not impressed with your work. He's not impressed with your performance. He's not impressed in your doing. He is, however, influenced by your faith, by your confidence, and what you believe will absolutely determine what you do. That's what James said. You show me faith without works. Come on, church. And I will then demonstrate my faith with works. Because what you believe, how your set of values, how many realize there ought to be a set of values in our life? Whatever you set as a value system of what you believe, this is important, will absolutely determine how you live your life. Amen? Will absolutely do it. So that's what she, and here's what I, the last part I want you to get. Most of the time, we don't even realize how much more we really have when God is in the picture. Everybody say, little as much with God. Little is much with God. I mean, when you get God in the picture, little becomes much. All right, so we're gonna start with our first part of our outline. Look at your neighbor, say, your stewardship matters. This particular man in our text brought his first fruit to the man of God. The prophet of God instructed the man to distribute among the men that were present. And in our text, this man felt like what he was giving seemed insignificant. Have you ever been there? You feel like what you had to give just doesn't really amount to much. There's two stories that come to mind that I want to share with you. Both of these are very familiar stories, but they bring an understanding to what this man felt like. The first one, there was a woman the scripture talks about. The prophet of God was told by the Lord. Remember, he was over by the brook. And while he was at the brook, God was providing him his daily supply of nutrition with a raven. Every day the raven would fly in, bring his goods for him to eat for the day, and had a wonderful brook that was by him, and he enjoyed that place. And in fact, he was what I would call, he was at a comfortable place in his life. How many know that we like to repeat things we're comfortable with? Right? How many have been at this church more than once? How many are set in the same place you've set before? Why? Because we are comfortable. It's what we do. It is what we do. We find that place that's comfortable, and we will sit in those comfortable places. And then when the pastor asks you to get up and greet people, because we are so comfortable, you guys understand. So Elijah, he is the prophet of God. He's by the brook, and he's told to go and move from where he is. God told him it's time to move on. He says, I have provided a woman that's going to provide for you. And he says, well, listen, to be honest with you, God, I'm paraphrasing, I'm pretty comfortable right where I'm at. I don't want to move. I don't want to stretch. I don't want to have to believe. You've been doing so good bringing me my daily supply. Let's just keep the deal as it's going and stay with the same flow that's already been coming. I like the raven. I like the brook. I'm pretty happy here. God said, listen, I'm moving. And when I go, my provision goes with me. The brook dried up and the raven stopped coming. Prophet God thought, you know, I think it's time to go. Have you ever had God motivate you? I think it's time to go. He gets up and he gets to this house of this woman. And the Bible said that God had already commanded her. Now, she never quotes God. She never says anything about a visitation from God. All she says to the prophet of God when the prophet of God shows up is says, well, let me just show you what I don't have. I don't have a mill full of barrel, and I don't have a flask full of oil. All I have is just a little bit of mill down in the deep of the barrel, and I have a little bit of oil in the flask. I'm going to make one last meal for my son and for myself, and then it's over. This is all I've got. And the prophet of God says something, and in this, it's so funny, because you might even look at the prophet of God and say, well, that's a pretty selfish thing for the prophet of God to say. The prophet of God looks at her and says, listen, before you make for yourself and your son, make for me. How many understand with me, everything you do should be done unto the Lord? Everything. Everything you do should be done. How you treat your spouse should be as unto the Lord. Amen? How you raise your children should be as unto the Lord. How many believe how you work on your job for your employer ought to have the attitude, I am doing this as unto the Lord. As you worship in church, it is as unto the Lord. Everything you do should be, are you with me this morning? Should be as unto the Lord. It is all service to the Lord. How many see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen? So everything we do ought to be as unto the Lord. So in essence, what the prophet of God is saying, before you give to yourself, give to God. That's what he's saying. Give to, in relationship to the Lord. First, your stewardship matters. The second story, you'll remember that Andrew has gone up to Jesus. Now, Jesus has been teaching at this particular setting of Scripture. He's been teaching all day long. Some of you already looked at your watch and said, how long is he going to speak? He has been speaking all day long. And Andrew goes up to the Lord and says, Lord, you know, you need to send this crowd away. He said, you need to eat. And so do we. I think that Andrew wasn't worried about him at Jesus as much as he was worried about himself and the other disciples. When Andrew said, listen, what you need to do is get rid of these people because we're hungry. I think he was saying, listen, we need to eat and it's time for us to eat. So you need to get rid of the crowd because we've got to eat. And Jesus looks at his disciple and says, Andrew, why don't you just feed them? Can you not see the puzzle? Andrew's looking at him and said, we don't have enough. How many see the relationship with our text? We don't have enough. Now the Bible records there were some 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Now, the name Andrew means bringer. Andrew was always bringing to the Lord. That's what that name means. He was a bringer. He was always bringing. In fact, he brought Peter and his brother to the Lord. That's how they found Christ. He brought them. He was a bringer. So Andrew begins to look around and he finds this young boy that's been to the marketplace that has now bought two fish and five loaves. And he takes what he has and he brings it and the boy offers it to the Lord. That's an offering. He offers it to the Lord. And the Lord, when the Lord looked at it, he raised it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed it to the disciples, who then distributed it to the people. Say this with me. He blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed it. So that's what he did. And they took, and the disciples then gave to everyone that was sitting. Now, I told you there was a minimum of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Two fish, five loaves. You guys see this? Your stewardship matters. Look at your neighbor and say, your stewardship matters. All right, the second part of our outline this morning is never underestimate God's abundance. Never underestimate the sufficiency of God. Remember, this man gave and there were leftovers. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man in Scripture, Solomon, writes in 11:1, he says, to cast your bread upon the waters and it will return. It will return. Now that comes from a principle that, by the way, has been established all the way from Genesis, clear through all the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and all the way through Scripture. There is a law in Scripture called seed time and harvest. You'll find it in Genesis. Paul writes, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever that you sow, you shall likewise reap. The essence of that is, whatever you plant, you will harvest. How many understand? If you don't plant seed, there'll be nothing to harvest. Are you with me? Yes. How many have planted gardens this year? Let me see the hands of the gardens. How many have been just chomping the bits to get some of the stuff from your garden? How many have started to reap from the garden? Yeah, I mean, I've heard people talk about it on Facebook. It's been all over. I mean, they're showing pictures. I mean, they're so happy. They're showing pictures of their plantings more than they are their children right now. I mean, they're all about the harvest. I mean, they're looking. They can't wait for the tomatoes to get red. Oh, Bo and Cindy, they've got watermelon the size of cantaloupe. Last I knew, it was about the size of cantaloupe. And they are can't hardly wait. Grow watermelon. You know what they're expecting? A harvest from what they planted. Are you with me? That is a principle throughout God's word. See, here's a misnomer, and we hear it all the time. The church is all about money. Do you really think God needs your money? We're talking about the creator of everything that is, who spoke light out of nothing. Nothing but darkness. And he says, let there be light. And light broke through the darkness and separated itself from what was dark, and now it lit up the world. That's God. The Bible said God took the stars and he flung them into the universes and commanded them to stay and to shine, and they've done that. He set the sun and set the... He doesn't need... What he needs is your faith. What God needs is faith. The Bible said when Jesus returns, will he find faith? Malachi chapter 3 says, bring all the tithes. This is from the Amplified. I didn't write this in. A tithe is a whole tenth of your income into the storehouse. That's the church, that there may be what? Food, bread, provision in my house. And this is the only time in all of the Word of God, you will never find this again, where God says, in this prove me. He says, and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out provision or blessings that there'll not be room enough to receive it. What is the writer telling us? He says that when your faith causes you to connect your provision to his resource, God will meet your need. That's what he's saying. That is what God is saying. So never underestimate God's abundance or his sufficiency. The last part of our outline. Be grateful for the leftovers. Be grateful. How many know God's leftovers are better than what you had to begin with anyway? Now, in the natural, I don't like leftovers. Don't like them at all. Somebody says, boy, I just can't wait to get that cold meatloaf sandwich. Gag me. That is like, ugh. We always bring leftovers because you can't leave it at the restaurant. Daniel always tells the waitress when they come to pick up his plate, you can have the rest. And someday someone's going to reach in there and grab a bite of something and I'm going to throw up right there. He always says, yeah, you can have the leftovers. And they're like, oh, yeah, thank you. As soon as I get to the back, I'm going to take that. And you servers know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, I'm not going to eat out of that. But we always take the leftovers. I've got leftovers in my fridge right now. And they're going to do what they do every time they go in the garbage. People say, it's always better the second. No, it isn't. It's not better the second day. It's better when it's made fresh. That's in the natural. But let me tell you, when God gives you leftovers, his leftovers really are the best. How many know what I'm talking about? Yes. Let's go back to our two stories. Now remember, the woman that had the meal and had the oil, in her mind, it was hopeless. She had told the prophet of God, I don't have anything beyond this supply. This is all I've got. Anybody ever been there? Not one person has ever met a hard day. Is this the wrong house or what? You know, I told the first crowd you guys were going to be rough. I didn't realize how rough. What's that? Asking. Has anybody been to that place where you've had nothing? Nobody else? Okay, now a few more. Thank you very much. You're so funny, Bo. Here, you preach it. The woman had already told God, said, listen, told the prophet of God, listen, I don't have anything. Life is hopeless for us. I'm going to fix one last meal for my son, and then we're going to die. And the prophet of God, remember what he said? Before you make for yourselves, make for the prophet of God. In other words, honor God first. Honor God first. So she prepared for the prophet of God. She went back then to prepare for herself. But remember, she had said, I only have enough for me and my son, and then that's it. When she went back, the Bible says, now some have pictured this very different than I do. Some have pictured that somehow supernaturally the meal barrel became full and running over. And so every time she went back, it was such a full supply, she had to just dig from the max of the supply that was there. I don't believe that. Because then that takes no faith. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, faith is believing what you can't see. Faith is believing what you don't think you have. Remember I told you that you have more than you realize if God's in the picture. You have more than sufficient if God is in the picture. Take God out of the equation and you're lacking, but put God in the equation. We serve a God that is more than enough. He is more than sufficient. I believe that every time she came to that meal barrel, she would reach and pull from that meal barrel. The Bible said there was always meal from that time forward. It never ran out. And the oil that was in the flask never went dry. Every time she poured, it may have looked like there wasn't going to be enough. Have you been there? You didn't know how you were going to make it, but somehow God came up and showed up in your life and you made it nonetheless. You trusted God, you believed in God, and God blessed you. When you didn't think you could do it, God showed up. Every time she poured, every time she trusted, there was always supply. Amen. The second story, remember the lad that brought his offering to Jesus. He presented the two fish. He presented the five loaves. He honored what Jesus had asked of him to give it. And what looked impossible became more than sufficient. Because when the disciples distributed among the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, after they had ate and were full, that's what Jesus tells us. He told his disciples, now go gather the leftovers. Go get what remains. How many want to get some of the leftovers? Amen. The leftovers, what remains. And they went out and they gathered up what remained and they gathered 12 baskets full. Now I love this picture I get in my head. Can you imagine when he went home? The mom knows I sent you to the marketplace to come home with two fish and five loaves. And he comes home with 12 baskets full. I would imagine five loaves and two fish might have filled one big basket. But he's got 12 baskets full. I could see him showing up at home and mom says, "Where did you get all of this?" Let me tell you a story. Mom, I was with Jesus today. Who? I was with Jesus. And he had me give him the two fish and the five loaves that I went to the store to get. And this is just the leftovers after he fed, Mom, listen, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And this was what came from that. How many know a miracle worker? How many know Jesus is a miracle worker? See, God wants your faith to connect to his release. You've got to trust him. All right, let's real quickly move to our outline once more, and we'll just tie it up together. The first thing, and we've already talked about, your stewardship matters. So what is the result of knowing that? Then you must become what God desires, and that's to be a giver. How many know that God wants you to be a giver? How many know that is an example of who he is? For God so loved, he gave. We so love, we give. How many get that? If you want the heart of God, if you want to imitate who he is, you must understand who he is now who we become. And God wants every man, woman, boy, and girl to understand that he is a giver, and he wants you to imitate that nature of who he is. The second thing that we need is you never underestimate God. So what is that really telling us? Is we must trust him. Do you know that's the hardest thing to do? Come on, nod your head. It's the hardest thing to do. Because we're so focused on our situations, and we're so focused on our circumstances. And sometimes we're so focused on that meager amount. Are you hearing me? I mean, I'm talking about in comparison to God. You got to know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is his, right? And so when you put what you have in comparison to what he has, it seems so lacking. How many have been so tied up in the lack you have a hard time trusting? Come on. You can trust for somebody else, can't you? Yeah. Just trust God. Until it's you having to be in the driver's seat to trust, right? But all of a sudden, now here you are, and you're now faced with the reality is, what is God asking you to do? When Jesus returns, will he find faith? Don't you know that your confidence in who he is as your source? I've told you before, many times what we do is we learn. There's learned behaviors and practices, and we will get to the point where we look at our jobs and we will call our job our source. That paycheck, that customer, that sale, that service. And we will look and we will think, that is our source. How many realize that's not your source? That's not your source. You need to realize your source is God. And he only uses those things as the vehicle that brings your resources, but he in reality, in fact, James chapter 1 said, every good and every perfect gift comes from him. When you begin to take your eyes off of what you're doing and who you're serving in this part and put your eyes upon the real one that is your source, then your faith takes what you provide and connects it to the release of God. It's your faith. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. Guys, come on, keep quiet now. Don't shout. It's all about trusting God. And then the third thing is be grateful for the leftovers. How many would really agree with me that there needs to be a real attitude of gratitude? How many would just understand that there's such an ungratefulness in the time that we live? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have found it difficult at times when you go to bless somebody, and not that we do things for the pat on the back, and not that we, how many just really appreciate a nice thank you once in a while? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you ever tried, come on, moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, you ever try to sow into your children, your grandchildren, and they're like, well, you owe me. Is that all you're giving me? No, give me back what I just gave you. Why? Because there's something about that, right? How many feel that there's a real spirit of entitlement? Like somehow everybody owes them. That spirit of entitlement. Does it aggravate anybody besides me? Yes. That feeling of ungrateful, does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's something about that somebody can just take. They can take, and never want to be thankful or grateful for anything. You know, and Sometimes husbands and wives, listen to me, we take for granted one another. You know, somebody brings you a cup of coffee and somebody does something that's nice, and I'm not saying that we do everything we do for a thank you or a pat on the back, but isn't it nice to be appreciated just a little bit? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't it nice to feel somebody appreciates the effort that you make? And how does it feel when all of a sudden you've done something and somebody goes, thank you? Have you ever received maybe just a thank you card in the mail? Just a thinking of you card, just a note that comes and says, you know what? I'm thinking about you today. I appreciate you. Wow. Gratitude. How many believe that God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude? We set aside one day a year. We call it Thanksgiving. 364 days of ungratefulness. One day a year, we set aside a day. And on this day, we're going to be thankful. Here's what Jesus said. He says to give thanks for everything. Give thanks for everything, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. I believe that God is asking us, how many believe this? That God wants us to have a sense of gratitude. Is anybody really grateful that you've been born again? Is anybody really grateful that your sins have been removed from you? Is anybody really grateful that the blood of Christ has cleansed you from all sin? Is anybody grateful for that? Come on, shouldn't we be thankful for everything that we are today because of Him? And we recognize that I didn't get here on my own. And I didn't get here without His endeavors and without His help. I was hopelessly lost. But God made a way where there was no way. Stepped in right when I needed Him. And provided for me. Is anybody here in the house thankful? Yes. Come on, God is wanting you and I to be a grateful people that would show forth the praises that would, remember what I said? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God wants you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. God wants us to be grateful. Now here's what I'm going to say in closing. I'm looking for Daniel. Oh, there's Daniel. Please come, Daniel. You slipped up to the left. Thank you. He was hiding. Kind of hard for him to hide. He's right there. Can I tell you that if I don't teach you this, I'm doing an injustice to your walk with God? How many believe that? Do you know that if I don't teach you that God has an expectation from you to be a planter, to be a giver, to be a truster, to have a grateful heart? If I don't teach you these things, do you know I rob you of that part of what should be in your relationship with God? I rob you of that. There are things that are just taken for granted once you become husband and wife in a marriage. Not all the time now, but many times the wife changes her name. And you get a joint account. How many remember when the teller card came out? Does anybody remember that? Oh, I know you too. When that teller card came out, I showed my wife how to go to the teller machine, type in a 4 PIN number. She learned how to go there. Beep, 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 beep. And money came out. She learned how to go to the gas pump. Put that card in. Put that code in. And gas went in her vehicle. She learned to go to Payless. Thank God for Payless. Could be worse. There's a penny demon as well. Walmart demon, Sears demon. Some of you know what I'm talking about. She learned she could take that little card. Even if she didn't have cash in her pocket, that did not stop her. She understood. Are you guys getting this? She understood that in that joint account, there were benefits. Well, here's what the Bible says about you and I. We're joint heirs with Him. Amen. Joint heirs. Glory to God. Can I tell you, He does a lot better than I can do. There is a limit. I know she doesn't know it. But there's a place that our account will say, there's nothing more. But you will never tap out God's account. I had several titles that I was thinking about when I was coming up with this message. One of the titles was, You Can't Outgive the Lord. Can I tell you that's true? You can't outgive God. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Stand with me. Go ahead, Daniel.